So, integrity and ethics related to finances, part two. Dr. Patterson laid a great foundation from Scripture of finances, and we're going to apply it, how it affects us in our daily lives. Speaking from for the financial staff at the office, Diane, Priscilla, Ruth, and myself, we count it a privilege to serve all of you. You're great to work with. We feel very fortunate and blessed to have that position. I feel blessed to be able to communicate with missionaries every day, some people more than once a day, and others, like Brother Tracy. I was saying hi to him this morning, and I said, "Hey, Tracy, we haven't had our annual phone call in a while. You know, if I'm lucky, I get to talk to him once a year." And that's fine. All of us have different personalities. We have different ministries. And it's a blessing to have that variety in our lives also. But the concept of being a small part of your ministry is something that we don't take for granted. And it's a blessing to us. So today we're going to talk about money. I was talking to the ladies in the office this week about this session, and one of them said, "Yeah, money brings out the best in us." And she was saying it tongue in cheek. And she happened to be the one who manages the payroll for the office. So even in the office, there's some things that come up with money. I can relate to that. I think all of us can relate to that in our lives. When something doesn't go like we expected with our finances, or we don't get what we think we deserve or should get, how does that feel? You just kind of say, "Oh, that's okay, I'll just do something else." No, it's not like hackles on the back of your, you know, the hair stands up, and maybe you check your credit card statement and you see a charge there that you don't recognize. How does that feel? Not really good. What's the first thing you do? Yeah, you know, drop everything. Get online with that company. Call the bank. You know, what's going on? That kind of thing. Money brings out the best or worst in us. It is a quick picture to our heart. I can think of probably my second or third year at the GFA office, on the phone with a missionary who I was getting to know. You know, after 3 years, you know most of the people, you understand personalities, and I think this is going to be a pretty good guy to work with. Boy, was I surprised. A money issue came up, and it just blew me away, his response. And I was just, you know, pretty much silent. And it really revealed what was going on inside that person, which I could not see just by normal communication. But if he felt injured in some way financially, taken advantage of, didn't get what he thought was his, or GFA did something that we shouldn't have, boom, he exploded like that. And it's not just him, it's in me too. It's in all of us. It's just right below the surface if we're not careful. And it will rear its head very quickly. Our attitude toward money is an indicator of where our treasure is, in heaven or on earth. You know, when we respond to something just on the spur of the moment, what does that usually indicate? Something happens, our first reaction comes out. That first reaction is usually an indicator, you know, what's in the heart, what we think about. And we have to constantly be on guard as believers, and that's why it was so good for Dr. Patterson to go first, to have a scriptural foundation that has to be reviewed and reviewed and reviewed, because our flesh wants to jump out about financial things. A strong devotional life is imperative to have the proper attitude towards money. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, we have to have that proper devotional life. It's a non-negotiable. And the only way to have success from a spiritual standpoint with money is to have that walk in the Spirit. Money is always there. Our response to money is always there in the flesh. It's going to come out unless we're walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit and our response to money issues shows us where our treasure is. Is it really in heaven? Are we really living for that? Or are we living for money in this life? When we walk in the Spirit, our primary focus is on heavenly treasure. And as we go through all these financial things, this is the foundation. There's a lot of simple things we do every day with money. We have to. It's part of the job. But this is the foundation. When we walk in the Spirit, our primary focus is on heavenly treasure. And that's where it needs to be. And that's where it has to stay. So we need to know, what do we do every day to be sure we keep it that way in our own hearts? The money reality. This is a secret we're letting you know today. You need money to fulfill your ministry. Money seems to be on the forefront. You're accepted at GFA. The first thing we talk about, okay, what's your support level? Okay, and then we have to go through all the things to figure that out. And then you raise your support, then you go to the field, and money's still on your mind because you got to pay for everything, but you also got to keep communicating with these people who are sending you money. So it's just a constant, continuous money, money, money. And it's not wrong, but that's reality. As a missionary, that is reality. Successful missionaries understand partnership. So instead of just thinking about money, 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 we should be thinking about partnership, people, ministry. And we try to emphasize that when we have orientation, you know, for deputation. I think Brother Tim Dahlhausen, he's not here right now, I don't think. His last prayer letter that he sent out was a great example of that. You know, they just finished deputation, ready to go to Morocco. And he said what a lot of deputies first feel, like, I don't want to raise all this money and just go church to church. But he found out that it was all about relationships with people. The friendships, the relationships, the partnerships that he was building as he went from church to church. And now they have a great support team and they're ready to go to the field. So successful missionaries understand partnership. Don't think about money. Think about partnership. And for a lot of people, it's a lifelong partnership with churches. It's a great blessing. Missionaries have, as you know, a lot of blessings. There's challenges, no doubt. But financially, can you think of another job that has as much diversification of income? You know, when you invest in the stock market, what's the first thing you should do? Be sure you diversify. So think about your support. How diversified is that? 20 churches, 15 individuals. COVID comes. We have less than 10 churches that drop GFA missionaries. 2008 recession comes. Same thing, less than 10 churches that drop missionaries. And your support is there. It's solid. Even when the economy tanks, you know, that's a blessing financially. One of the blessings that we can be thankful for. You are not begging for money, but are searching for those wanting to invest in eternal treasure through your ministry. You know, Dr. Patterson, he shared his addiction of golf with me several years ago. And I enjoy that. And I know it's extremely boring to watch unless you play golf, so don't judge golf just by watching. You got to play it. And there's a lot of great spiritual analogies with golf in the Christian life. Like, if you need a dose of humility, just go play 18 holes, and you'll get your dose of humility really quick. But in golf, when someone wants to go on the pro tour, it's expensive, you know, to beat these tournaments, the fee to enter it, stay at the hotels and the travel, and so they'll often get sponsors to start out their career. And they're people who know the golfer, they trust the golfer, they're willing to put skin in the game, so to speak. Okay, here's $50,000 to help you through the first 3 years, that kind of thing. When that golfer gets it, that investor, he gets his money back and he gets more back because he's invested in the, and that golfer is a rich man by then. And so they get those dividends. And the analogy is not perfect, but it's like that with folks that support us. You're not going begging, asking for money. You always hear that about missionaries or people who are thinking about becoming a missionary. They don't want to do it because they don't want to go raise money. You're not begging. You're giving people an opportunity to partner in the Lord's work and a friendship that will last a lifetime. There are many churches that desire to have an impact in gospel ministries worldwide. You provide an opportunity for them. There's a lot of churches across our country that you all have been in as a deputee, and that's another blessing when you're on deputation or furlough to see all the churches, usually small churches of believers across our country who want to serve the Lord. And they can be involved in overseas missions through you. They can be involved in reaping eternal rewards through you. And that's a privilege for us to be in that position. Stewardship. We are to be good stewards of the Lord's money during our journey through life, but money should never become the primary object of our journey. If you ever feel that becoming, see that kind of coming into your life, you know, that's a big red flag. If money is turning into the object, I have to have more support, that's a problem. We are to be good stewards, though. And that means it requires something of us. How we use our money, how we use our time. People are supporting us to do a job. How are we accomplishing that? So, four character flaws to avoid. Dr. Patterson talked about character. These take a little different angle, though. A lazy work ethic. People are supporting us to do a specific task, whether it's deputation or whether you're on the field. Lazy work ethic on deputation would look like I schedule one or two churches a month. I'm in no hurry. On the field, a lazy work ethic. I'm working by myself. I can set my own schedule and you don't get much done. A lack of professionalism. How about as a career missionary? Ministry is so busy. I don't have time for any paperwork. I don't have time to keep track of my expenses so that I can get the deductions I should get on a tax return. And maybe I don't have time for my monthly report with GFA as well. Although that shouldn't take too much time now. So a lack of professionalism. How about traveling to churches? Being on time. Watching details. When a pastor asks you to end at a certain time, do you end at a certain time? Those kind of things, professionalism, you need that. A sense of entitlement. You may not feel that right away as a deputee, but we've got a broad range from not even starting to have been on the field a long time. Tracy, how many years have you been in Australia? Okay, yeah, so we have the whole gamut here, and that's great. The sense of entitlement can happen because people treat us so well when we go to churches, don't they? It's like, roll out the red carpet. Here comes the missionary. You're the hero. And it's our job to make them, hey, we're just like you. You know, Carol Osher is great at that. She would tell the ladies, hey, I've got a pile this high of dirty laundry just like you do. We're the same. You know, we're not perfect angels. That sense of entitlement is something you have to watch out for. That is a bad character flaw. A beggar mentality. Missionaries are good at this, and we don't even know it. You know, if we are in need of finances, I guess I need to back up a second here, because I don't want to step on toes. When you talk about finances, it's possible to step on toes. And I'm going to speak in general statements here, so I'm not thinking of specific people. And I understand different circumstances can cause, can play into this as well. But my thought of beggar mentality is maybe saying to somebody when you're in their church, talking about families, yeah, I wanted to get braces for my children this year, but we'll have to wait till next year because we don't have enough money. Or maybe I needed a new vehicle, but it'll wait because I don't have enough money. Or vacations have to be put off because this year we didn't have enough money. How about in prayer letters? Pray for our support. You know, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But little hints in prayer letters that you don't have enough money. Is that really the best way to get money for that? One lady in the church who received numerous prayer letters from missionaries saying that they were short on funds, we just don't have enough to do this, was asked, does it cause you to give? And she said, I feel bad for them, but I probably won't give anything. So that type of financial appeal is not good. It's a bad behavior to do it that way. And we'll talk about the right way, but that is not what I would consider the good way. So four character flaws to avoid. And then stewardship and support level. This is where I would, what I would consider the good way to raise support, the good way to meet a financial need that you have. My view on faith missions is that God provides a way for us to raise support for our ministry. We have to go out and do it. No one's cutting us a full salary check every month unless we go out and do it. If God has provided a way for us to raise support, and he has, and we go out under-supported and say we're going by faith, I have a problem with that. Going by faith is going out with 100% support, raising the support just like through the way God provided a way for you to do deputation. Not by going out under-supported and then praying and writing letters back and saying, I'm short of funds. That's not faith missions. And that principle you can see through life. And in the New Testament, God promises to take care of the birds. So what do the birds do? What do all day? They look for food all day, right? Because the food's out there, but they just don't sit in their nest all day, do they? You know, they don't have prayer letters, that's for sure. But they got to do something. And for us, this is what we do. We raise support, and that is how it is. And I know there's some challenges with that. But as deputies today, this is the easiest time in your life that you will ever have to raise support, missionary support. Your family is small or non-existent yet. You don't have roots put down. And the best thing you can do is raise 100% minimum. And some of you will know that once you get close to 100% on deputation, we usually give you a raise so that you're back down to 95%. Because you need a great foundation. If you start off with a great foundation of support, the rest of your missionary career is so much less stressful financially. But if you start off at 92%, maybe you stopped scheduling meetings and you thought you'd get over 100, but you never did. And then maybe you got to the field and one of the churches that supports you at 400 a month, what? And so that dropped out. And so now you're down to under 80. And then you have another child, and so forth and so on. And when you're in the mid-80s hanging out there and life is a struggle financially, your wife is really under the pressure more than you are because she's having to fix food and there's not much there and there's nothing extra for Christmas and there's definitely nothing left for vacation, and it just steamrolls. And then you have roots down, and maybe the children are in school if you're depending on what kind of country you're in, so you can't come back to the States for a full year or even 6 months to try to raise support, so maybe you try to come by yourself, and churches don't like that. If they're going to take you on the first time, they want the whole family to be there. And so now, on deputation, is the best time. And you say, well, I can't do that. I've been on the field for 2 terms already. Well, you've got to figure out a way to get back for a longer amount of time to raise that support to get up to 100%. Maintain good communication with current supporters and with potential supporters. And this kind of stuff is preaching to the choir for most of you. You do a great job on it. But as you are going through deputation, going through furlough, you come across new contacts. They can't support you right now, maybe even in the budget, but you keep in touch because in the future, you're going to need it. Cost of living is always going to go up. Insurance is always going to go up. Other expenses will go up. So you got to be thinking down the road, who are some more potential supporters? Let the GFA office know if you have a special financial need. We have a fund that we use when special needs come up. And that's one of the reasons we have those monthly reports that you turn in. It's actually required by the IRS, one reason. And the other reason is we want to know how you're doing financially. You know, we don't want you to suffer. It also helps us see, okay, over the long run, this person really doesn't have enough support. And we want you to feel free to communicate, hey, Brother Dale, I don't think my support is enough. We've got this bill, and I don't want to put it on my credit card. You know, what should we do? You know, let us know. And we can help, and we can help encourage you to raise more support, you know, as well. Low support results. Increased financial stress. Limited funds for the family. Limited funds for the ministry. Limited funds for others. You know, if people are so generous to us as missionaries, all of us got Christmas gifts from missionary supporters, we be generous to others and show that same generosity. That principle is not just for missionaries, it's for all Christians, for what God has done for us. We want to be generous to others. And then most importantly, and we're going to talk about this next, limited funds for savings. This is where low support really shows up. Because you can cut down on the savings short term and you don't feel too much pressure, right? But long term, it will catch you. And then full support, financial stress is reduced, funds available for the family, for the ministry, for others, and funds available for savings. That's where we want to be. Now you're saying, well, Dale, should we just have so much money that we don't have to worry about any financial need ever again? No, GFA is not going to let you have that much money. That's not going to be a problem. We want you to be at a level that meets your needs, just like Dr. Patterson shared out of Proverbs, feed me with food sufficient for me. There's going to be special needs. Even when you save, like I'm going to talk about, there are going to be needs that come up that are going to take you to the Lord in prayer to help meet that need. So savings accounts. Liquid emergency fund, at least 2 months. A lot of people nowadays will say 3 months, and I'm just trying to be realistic for most of us. You know, start at 2 months. And a question that may come to your mind is, you know, where are we going to get those funds to begin with if our budget is so tight, you know, right off? Let's go back to deputation again. Deputation is great for raising support on a monthly basis, but it's also great for raising funds for special projects. There'll be churches that won't be able to take you on for a monthly basis, but they'll say, hey, can we give you a one-time gift? And you have several accounts. You can say, yeah, I could use funds for our startup fund or for our savings or for a vehicle and so forth. And use that opportunity of bringing in funds at that time to really jumpstart these categories like that. But you should have this. And this may take you 2 or 3 years to build up. It's fine. But just start putting $200 a month into that account. Just email me and say, hey, put that money in a separate account for me at GFA. You won't spend it then, because you have to contact us to get it out, and we'll remind you, hey, I thought this was for, you know, liquid emergency fund. We won't say that to you, but we'll probably. But it's often better to put it someplace out of reach for you. Short-term savings, car on field, furlough car, appliances, vacation, the list could go on. If you don't have a healthy short-term savings account, you're going to run into problems. It's just a matter of when. You will run into problems. We occasionally field emails and calls from people who say something like this: my refrigerator went bad, I need money for it, can you give me money out of the emergency fund at GFA? Well, that's really not what the emergency fund at GFA is for. That's for your flight home in case of a death or an emergency like that. But immediately in my mind, that is no short-term savings plan for this person if they have that kind of a need. Vacation. Vacation is not an option. If you're looking long-term on the mission field, I see P&G over here with Cynthia and Belinda. If you're looking 6 months on the mission field, you better have a vacation planned. The culture you're in can dictate that some, but you need that for your own health, for your family's health, and your wife as well. That needs to be a priority. Furlough car, that's another one. I'll be honest, there's a lot of things to save for, and there are. And we need to factor those into your support level. But furlough car frequently comes up. When people come back for a furlough, what do I do for a car? Well, for your next furlough, start saving this month for a vehicle for your furlough. But for this furlough, you know, some are blessed to have a family who can loan them a car. I always smile when I talk about this subject because, you know, we talk about raising money and going to churches. And, you know, Walter and Carol, Walter's so humble and quiet. And his father-in-law would always loan them cars when they were home for furlough. And he just happened to drive Mercedes, Land Rovers. So here's the Loshers coming up to church in the new Land Rover. That one will always stick with me, and I tease him about that. He'll probably hear this, and I'll get an email, you know, from him. But thinking ahead, okay, I'm going to need a vehicle on furlough. What can I do to prepare for that? And maybe your preparation is saying, okay, I can go to one of the agencies that rent cars to missionaries and just pay the monthly fee, whether it's, you know, $400 a month or something like that. And that's fine. That's a great way to do it if you have saved up for that and you have it in the budget. But don't let it be one of those things that you just push, kick the can down the road, and then it comes and you don't know what to do because you don't have a car. Long-term savings, house down payment, college fund, retirement fund. You know, retirement fund, our younger generation has really bought into that. It is not hard at all about getting you to put a healthy amount in each month for that. And that's important because we know when you're 70, when I'm 70, even in a few more years, churches are going to say, we expect you to live off of your Social Security and your retirement fund because we want our money to go to new missionaries that are coming along. And that is just the way it is. And so you have to plan for that because it's that way now for some churches. House down payment. We found that a lot of missionaries like to purchase a house in the States. And that could be a great investment. several here have done that. There are some that will purchase a house overseas, depending on the country they're living in. You got to be careful if you do that, but that could be a good investment as well, depending on the country that you're in. But as an investment, owning a home is a good thing. And so saving for a down payment is something that needs to be, you know, in your mind for that. If you have children and they're coming to South Carolina to school, there's a great tax advantage for you if you have a house in South Carolina. So those types of things need to be on your radar. And then, of course, college fund and savings. So I know there's a lot there, a lot to save for. What I'm kind of pushing out to you, yeah, you need to save for all those things, but they need to be in your support level. You can't do those in your support level. We need to talk and adjust your support level. Churches, donors expect you to live and save for the future just like they do. You know, we're in a different era. Things change over time. 40 years ago, low support levels. Missionaries go out. Pastors tell them, if you have a need, you just let us know. We'll help you out. We'll take care of you. Take care of you was interpreted, we'll take care of you till you die. Kind of a take care of you. That's changed now. But they also have changed in that they want missionaries to be able to provide for themselves like they do. When they have appliances break, they can't write a prayer letter to people. They have to buy one and have it saved for them. And so it's not a right or wrong kind of thing. You know, probably 40 years ago, even when I started with GFA 25 years ago, churches, they didn't like high support levels for missionaries. But now, higher support levels is good, because that gives you the money you need to take care of these short-term savings and these long-term savings, and they understand that. So don't worry about sticker shock, so to speak, on your support level. That gives you the finances to take care of these things that you should be saving for. All right, in a moment we'll have some topics for questions. I just want to think through if I said anything I'll regret and offer a disqualifier. I think I touched on prayer letters before too. Prayer letters and fundraising. You know, we have in our policy manual, always check with the home office before you make an appeal in a prayer letter. And make an appeal is one of those in quotes, because it's different things to different people. Pray for our support level. That's kind of a vague appeal, you know, that way. I just wouldn't do that, because I don't think that helps your cause at all, and it hurts instead of helps. I would definitely, if I had a need, a financial need on the field, I would definitely let us know. I would definitely let your home church pastor know, or other pastors that you feel close to, or probably you all have a church or two that said to you, if you ever have a financial need, let us know. Those are the people to go to when you have those financial needs. Don't put it in your prayer letter as a vague, I'm running short on money kind of a thing. Use your prayer letter to show what you are doing so they can see what they're investing in, but they're in an intelligent manner, because they see the specific things that you're doing. If you want to hear what one couple does for their supporters, talk to Jennifer and Jack sometime today. They have a good support team, and find out what they did to get that support team. Let's put them on the spot and copy that, you know, that kind of a thing. So let's take some topics. I just want to generate some discussion on some things that you'll have to have a decision about, or you already have in your particular field. Standard level. You know, we work with you. We want you setting a support level for your field, for your family. But what standard of living level should a missionary have on the field? if you want to give a short comment, I can repeat it in the microphone, and it'll be on the tape. But if you're going to, you know, going to go more than 30 seconds, raise your hand, and we'll bring a microphone over to you. What standard of living level should a missionary have on the field? Andrew. Let's get this on the microphone. Mike, how does this go on?
I didn't go over 30 seconds.
You will, though. Oh, here it is. Okay, nice and close.
So time equals money. So if you're so strapped financially, or if you're having to invest a lot of time in things like fixing your stove, that you're not outdoing what you were sent on the other side of the world to do. Maybe it's something to rethink.
Yeah, good point. And my mind didn't go that way, but it's very good. You want to live on a level where you're able to have money to pay someone to do something so you can focus on what you were sent there to do with your ministry. That's very good. How about in general? I think, you know, none of us want to live in a way that's way above the rest, because it's hard to have a gospel ministry, except if you're in PNG or someplace in Africa where it's so different. The nationals there don't expect you to live like they do, or they would think you were weird if you tried to do that, and it would probably hinder your ministry as well. But our standard of living should be someplace in the middle, where we relate to people. We can relate to some of the financial struggles that they have, but we have the funds to accomplish our ministry. We have the funds to save like we need to save for. Vacations, we'll skip over that, I think, because you know GFA wants you to have time away from your ministry as a family. That's important for long-term sanity. We'll say it that way. Tithing. How do you tithe as a missionary? Who do you tithe to? Belinda, do you give all your tithe to the little church there in PNG?
No.
Why not?
Because that would be robbing of the blessing that God wants them to.
Yeah, that's right. Her tithe would probably triple the annual budget of the church. And you can't do that, can you? And you don't want to rob them that privilege of giving. But how do you decide who to tithe to then? A lot of folks will give to their home church. A lot of folks will give to two churches because you've been in contact with two churches over the time. If you're in a country where the cost of living is very high, your tithe could be absorbed by that church and it wouldn't hurt them at all, you know. And so that's an option there as well. Some missionaries will use their tithe to give to other missionaries. We had one instance, they're no longer a GFA now, and one family gave to that missionary, and that missionary gave to that missionary, and they gave the exact same amount. It's like, why are we making this entry every month? Back and forth. And that's true. And if you want to use your tithe, you know, for that, important thing is give your tithe where it goes. If you have trouble deciding, ask some folks you respect on that. Need some of Dr. Patterson's drink, I think. Retirement finances. Is it wrong for a missionary to have $500,000 in your retirement account? What do you think? Well, what's 5% of 500,000? See how the math majors are. 25,000, that's right. Okay, 25,000 a year. Can you live on 25,000 a year? And we normally take out about 5% of our investments a year. So that would give you $25,000 a year plus your Social Security to live on. Is that too much? No, it's not too much. Will we all hit that? Probably not. But if you are there or close to there or trying to think of a figure to go for, that's not wrong. Don't get the impression that you have to be poor to be a missionary. You're sent by churches who want you to have income to do your ministry, and they're not going to support you after age 70. You have to have something to live on. So, never opt out of Social Security, and you can't do that now anyway. And save for retirement. Home ownership. We talked a little bit about this before. It's a great idea for most people. Any of these kind of important decisions, get advice from folks you trust who are knowledgeable. Don't make foolish decisions. And that kind of goes along with another topic we're going to come up here in a minute as far as foolish decisions. But home ownership is something to shoot for if that works for you. Is it for everybody? No, it's not. But it can be a good investment. Major financial decisions. How do you make them? This is where the foolish financial decision thought came to mind. How do you make major financial decisions in your family? You know, are both of you involved if you're married? I hope so. They need to be. But let's say you often we'll get extra gifts at Christmas and there's an extra $1,000. What happens to that $1,000? $1,000. Okay. I know for most of us, if we had $1,000 extra, we can think of a zillion ways we'd like to spend it real quick, right? But what is the process you go through to spend that extra money? We should be thinking about these other savings accounts we have. We should be thinking about special needs coming up, maybe special needs for others. I think what I've seen over the years when something like this happens that comes to mind is that whenever there was extra money, it went towards something right away that they wanted to use in a business or a tool or something like that. And there wasn't a lot of thought into long-range planning. And along the same line, just kind of things that I've seen them throwing out to you that I would be careful about. Making decisions right away, if you're in a third world country and there's a medical issue that comes up, okay, right away, we gotta go to Europe if we're in Africa. There's definitely a time to go to another country for treatment. I've done that myself. But there's also times where get the opinion of teammates, get the opinion of Mr. Crocker at the home office, get the opinion of your home pastor before you make a major decision, whether it's traveling for medical, whether it's purchasing something substantial. Use wise counselors. You know, they're there. Use them, and they will protect you financially from making decisions that you'll regret long term like that. Special financial needs and prayer letters. I think I just touched on that a few minutes ago, things that we've seen over time. So there, you know everything I know. Anything you want to throw out about finances, questions that come up? Yeah, Hannah. Mm-hmm. I wonder who you heard that from. I know. You don't have to tell me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, if the church has given you $250 a month, I would tell them, I'm using your $250 to do my ministry, and I'm using another church's $250 to give to that person. If they're going to get that picky. Yeah, we actually do have churches that give to us. Actually, it's individuals that give to us, and they'll say with a check, for ministry only. And my first thought is, they're not going to do ministry if they can't live there, you know, and pay their rent and things like that. But some people think that way. And that's not a right or wrong. It's just people are unique, you know, that way. So there is that sense, and I can see where they're coming from, of we're sending you there to do a specific thing. But your salary contains money that has discretional income. If you choose to use it in that way, that would be fine. There would be nothing ethically wrong, you know, with doing that. What else? Tyler.
Just to add to that, I came across on Numbers 18 2 years ago, and it kind of jumped out at me that the Levites were supposed to give a tithe on the tithe specifically. It instructed them to do so. So we have a really good precedent.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, our missionaries are very generous in some of the things we see on the financial side, whether it's tithing to churches or to other missionaries. That's the spirit the Lord wants us to have, and we should do it that way. Anything else financially? You know, a couple obvious ones I left off this list that deal with finances and missionaries, because I was really thrilled when we started the regional director setup at GFA. So now we've got Mr. Crocker over the Americas, we've got Forrest, Far East, Allen, Africa, Europe, and I thought this fits better with them. Bribes. What do you do about bribes? Is that right for a missionary? That's a tough one. Giving bribes, no. And Forrest and I talked a little bit about this week, and I said, you know, Forrest, I'm glad that you're here. I'm going to let you handle that. I think that would be a great topic, you know, for a further discussion at another MAT retreat or a Wilds conference or something like that, because there's a lot of, it depends when you get into that. A lot of it depends and what it's meaning. And so those kind of financial decisions, feel free to take to Dr. Patterson and Forrest and John. Give them those hard questions. Make them sweat. They have the experience on those fields and whatnot. But feel free anytime to send questions my way that you have. You are easy to work with. GFA, you know, I have contacts with other boards, and I'm thankful at GFA the folks that we have in, that we accept, are so like-minded that it's a blessing to work with on these things. So, let's end in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you how you watch over for us, you provide for us, you give us ways to raise support and have the provisions that each of us need to work together with brothers and sisters that are like-minded as we keep our eyes focused on heavenly treasure. May we continue to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.